The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
You're listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples. I am Jesse.
I am Jamie.
Wait, who are you?
I am Jamie.
Oh, good. You've spoken to both mics, so now I can't tell which one is which. It's the tape. We are currently preparing for several interviews. Because we are previewing the Unreal City Festival, which is unreal, which is coming up this coming weekend, January 15th to 17th, at the Rickshaw Theater and the Russian Hall in East Vancouver. Very exciting, almost entirely local music festival, 3 days.
Love having that in January.
Yeah, that's real nice, and a big semi-local adjacent headliner in Spencer Krug.
Whoa, yeah.
Very exciting for us fans of his work in Wolf Parade and Sunset Rubdown and his solo stuff as Moonface and
Swan Lake,
so many different things.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all great. And, whoa, look, that's a phone number from someone who is here to come on the show. So we'll just get right to that. Hang on. Hello. Hey, I'll be right up to let you in. Cool. Be right back.
What a segue!
Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
We're in studio here with Worrywart. Do you want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Allie.
They have a mic.
I'm Sid.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you had a mic.
I'm Riley.
Well, I'm Em.
My name's Matt.
Welcome, and we have you here because you're playing the Unreal City Festival, which is coming up this weekend. We're also just excited to have you here to talk about yourselves, about your music, and anything else that might come up. So, once again, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This festival, Unreal City, this is the second year that it's happened. How did it come to be that you're playing the festival?
Last year we made a good impression with everyone there, and I kind of have a bit of a relationship with Sam, who's one of the organizers. And I mean, we applied just like any other band, but there's probably a little bit of nepotism involved. It's a good crew, and excited to see.
At least you're honest about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna hide. I don't know. Yeah, I really wanted to be more involved. Unfortunately, we didn't really do much on the back end of things, but seeing how professional and nice it was last year, it is going to be nice to see. I've heard it's got a bit of an upgrade this year, which is going to be hard to top. So,
I wanted to ask about last year's experience. What was it like to play last year?
Unbelievable. We all got matching tattoos, actually, with the pop-up. Our friend Riley did tattoos. I cannot remember their Instagram handle.
Stab Mommy, I think.
Stab Mommy, something like that.
That's appropriate.
But we all got matching tattoos of barbed wire, so we're bonded forever. Thanks to Unreal City. Thank you, Unreal City.
Yeah, that was really fun. It was just like a super easy place to find something to look at or do. There's like the basement had music. And there was all the vendors, tattoos. You go upstairs, another band is playing. It's probably your friends are up there chilling. Just really nice experience to have like a multi-level festival or like a multi-venue festival all in one roof.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
And this year they're doing shows downstairs too. So it's like 6 o'clock, somebody's downstairs. 7 o'clock, somebody's upstairs. And
it,
I think
it never stops.
Yeah, it's just like there's stuff going on.
And the rickshaw.
And the rickshaw, yep. Thursday night.
Yeah.
And the merch setup, too, downstairs was cool because it was like a semicircle. So when you went downstairs, there was food immediately. Like Riley said, all of the other pieces, but then also bands merch, really accessible, which is always great.
Yeah.
The fact that they're doing this in like January, too, is like suddenly January's not the worst month, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah. These kind of festivals always seem to be reserved in the summer, so it's nice that they're putting it something this substantial at this time of year. So
100%.
That's true.
It's good for the bands, too, because I've, you know, July is saturated, you know, like mm-hmm. it's nice to be like, yeah, I'm free in January, of course, to play this because there's nothing going on.
It's also July is also the best time as a band to be out of town,
exactly,
right?
So yeah,
100%.
Looking at this year's lineup, is there anyone in particular that, like, the lineup is pretty robust, so is there anyone in particular that you are extremely excited for?
Checked Out Forever.
Yeah, I love playing with Checked Out. That was easy.
The opening night's stacked, too. Houseplants are good friends in Hillsborough. Really, really good friends of ours as well.
But yeah, we're going to have Houseplants on later.
Same. Oh, yes.
They're so nice.
We had like a moment, I guess it's been a couple years ago, where we played like 3 shows with them within like a month. And we haven't played with them since then. But like, yeah. So there was this time where I was like, oh yeah, we're like super close with Houseplants. And now we rarely see them, but mm-hmm. there's like connect.
Oh, Buddy, amazing.
Yeah,
their new
Saturday
album is fantastic.
Crazy.
Devour's a wonderful person.
Devour's new music is sounding so good.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be even more stuff at the show, which I'm very excited to see that.
Their merch, they also have Magnets, which I was really excited about last time.
I've never seen Sundress or Goo, and they're both bands that I've been like trying to check out. Mm-hmm. So Whack too. Yeah, Saturday is actually crazy.
Yeah.
Definitely not reading this. Pat's playing
downstairs
on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Pat's playing.
Easy.
Pat is in Buddy, and they also have an amazing solo project.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're Pat fans back to the Douse ACPDF.
Yeah.
They just released a single. Yeah. It was really good.
Surprise is great.
And then Spencer Krug is going to be exciting because my dad is a number one Wolf Parade fan. Every year he sends me his Spotify Wrapped, and it's always Wolf Parade number one and Worry Wart number two.
That's awesome. That is crazy.
Nice. I didn't realize Wolf Parade counted as dad rock.
Yeah.
Wow.
tough day for you and me.
Well, they were talking about running, so.
True.
Yeah.
True. For any of the rest of you, any connection to Wolf Parade, to Spencer Krug's music? Like, is it meaningful to be sort of opening for them?
I was told I was not allowed to talk about Heated Rivalry.
Okay, let's go. This is now a Heated Rivalry show.
I wasn't allowed to talk about it, but I'm just going to say it's going to be special for a lot of people to hear some of that music.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going
to
say. Yeah.
I'm just asking Jesse if he's like, he's got to play it now, right? Like, he's got.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
If there was ever a time,
yeah.
It's right now.
So
I hadn't heard. So
it's very good. So you folks just had like a pretty substantial year. It seemed you even just released like there's the live Once More With Feeling session that just came out with it was like
last night. Yeah.
Last night, yeah, really great. Congrats.
Thank you.
What were some of your personal highlights from 2025 that is resonating with you, considering how robust of a year it seemed to be for you folks?
Tour was huge. This year was really special. It was really long. It was 4 weeks. We went all the way to Montreal, which was special for me. We played with some really amazing people. We played with Cassia Hardy. I love Cassia Hardy. We played a really cool show in Saskatoon, which is where Riley and Matt are from. And it was great because we got some extra time there to spend on the land in Riley's mom's cabin, which was really cool. The whole experience is really cool. I mean, this year we are also planning something like that. I feel like this year is going to be super stacked for us. So reflecting upon the 4 weeks we had, and we're adding more weeks this year. So I can't wait.
We also got to go away for like a couple weeks to do some writing where Em's from in Calgary. The family home was empty, and we just raided along McQuaid and got everything we could possibly need to bunker down for over 2 weeks and wrote a whole bunch of music, and that was like a wildly rewarding experience that I've never got to do something like that before, like wake up and the only thing to do is forget to eat lunch and make sounds. That was a really, really special part.
That sounds like an actual dream band situation. Like, I remember being a kid, and that would be what I'd be fantasizing about and playing in bands.
Go so. Do it. Yeah. It's the best. I'm going to try to figure out how we can do it more. It's truly the best thing.
Any other highlights in particular? Or maybe we look towards the future and, like, how do you build off of those successes from 2025? Like, you mentioned that there's things already kind of coming together, but do you have anything in mind that's that you can bring up that kind of, I guess, takes it to the next level?
I feel like every single year we've had like a pretty clear idea of what more looks like, and like since 2024 we've like expanded on that every single year, and so this year we're kind of doing the same thing where we just have a bigger tour. Like we're doing the States this year, which we're excited about. There's been some trepidation, but like I think that connecting in those cities is like a cool thing that we're gonna be able to do. Yeah, otherwise kind of just
finish a record.
Yeah, like Riley was talking about, we did a lot of writing in the tail end of last year, which we're playing some of that stuff next Friday at Unreal City. But yeah, our hopes is to get some of that recorded and out by the end of the year would be sweet. I don't know.
Hopefully,
I hate like putting
take
numbers on things, but like, yeah, I don't know.
As long as it doesn't take as long as the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was wondering, and this is maybe a little bit more granular, but about, I was listening to Hail Mary Baby on the way here today, and like there's a lot, it feels like production and songwriting are very intertwined, and I just wanted to sort of ask about that relationship between like recording the album and writing the parts and how those sort of interface.
Yeah, it was definitely like a studio record. At the end of the day, I wanted, and I still want, to be able to play songs on an acoustic guitar. I think that's like where your like core is. But I wanted it to be like nearly impossible to play what was recorded just as like a four-piece band or mm-hmm. something. Where going into the studio with the grand idea, but not quite knowing how to get there, laying down 20 different ideas and trying to fit every single thing in, essentially just like patchwork, and not finishing those acoustic guitar songs until the whole thing was recorded. Like knowing at the end how to put the puzzle back together was kind of the fun game.
And do you feel like with the stuff you went to Calgary and wrote, like is that sort of in that state where you're waiting to get to the recording phase to finish it, or
I think we're all very nervous about what recording is going to be like. We have we are detail oriented in the same way, but we're not writing it with the studio in front of us, so we're I think trying to figure out how to manage our expectations of how many ideas we're going to want to throw once we've painstakingly made all this music and then want to inevitably rehash the whole thing and from the start. I don't know.
We're the kind of band that every practice something changes, and then I have to erase all of my notes and start over again. But it's been
back to the demos too of songs that we've been playing live and realize that they sound absolutely nothing like those demos. Yeah. And we realize like we already need to make new demos of these songs. It's wild.
It's a huge exercise.
But fun.
Yeah.
I'm actually super excited to record. We're kind of an annoying band, so the last album was more of like a recording project and was something that was like introduced before the band. Whereas this time it's like the songs are there, and I'm like a really bad person with change musically. I'm immediately super adverse to anything, and I'm like, this doesn't sound like something, like we're not doing this, and I know that so I can work through that. So I've been excited to like see the demos that came from Calgary and be like, this is not where you were, like what the hell, and then now being like, these songs are sick, And I know that's only going to be more and more as we like actually produce and are recording and being like, now we can extrapolate and do more stuff. So.
And sort of pivoting back towards what's coming up this weekend, how do you prepare for a live performance and taking some of those like studio created songs and turning them into live performance pieces? Like, I mean, at this point, you've probably got a lot of practice with it. But.
Well, the writing phase has kind of been since we came back from Calgary in a lot of ways, where we kind of put down the playing shows hat for like a deep period of time, the longest we've ever done. So getting the new songs we're going to play to the point in which we were like, we're just going to do this. This is the version it is while we test it out was like our step. And now we're trying to recontextualize the music that we were playing before to like meet us there.
Mm-hmm. We're also quite attentive to what is coming up and when to pause the writing process and prepare explicitly for the show. Yeah. So it's been a month and a half to 2 months of, okay, Unreal City's coming up. This is what we're going to do. This is how it's going to sound. And then obviously we make changes, but it's going to be a really interesting set. I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to sound really different and people who know us are going to be surprised. And I'm just really excited to see what people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks for coming to join us on the show today. Is there anything else you think people should know about yourselves, about the set? You're playing 9:30 on Friday, January 16th at the Russian Hall.
Come hang out.
Come
please
chill
show up.
Please, for the love of God.
Cool. We'll have you back for season two, Heated Rivalry Discourse. Yeah. Yes. Make sure. Just catch up. Okay?
We'll sign a contract.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, we're on the air. Hi.
We're digging in. We're
now
gripping and ripping.
I'm devourers.
Yeah, you're here, A, because we love you. And
thanks.
We're excited at any opportunity to sneak you into the studio to chat about your music and whatever else comes up. But also because you are playing the Unreal City Festival. You're headlining the last night of the Unreal City Festival.
It
January
is an
15th
honor.
To 17th.
Yeah. Next Saturday, January 17th at the Russian Hall. I am honored. I'm excited to do it.
Have you ever headlined a festival before?
I don't think so.
Nice.
Maybe? Yeah, sorry, I'm like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe Music Waste back in the day, but they didn't really have like
headliner.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so it's a big deal. The pressure's on. I'm going to try to bring my A game.
How did this come about that you are?
I applied.
Well, same answer as the last band I asked.
Okay. It was a fair game. I mean, like, the festival killed it last year. Like, it was so fun. I went, and it was I'm blown away by Unreal City. Like, the organizers, the volunteers, everyone is amazing. They're really, really good and really organized and good at what they do. And so, yeah, like, I went last year for their inaugural season, and I wanted to be a part of it. But yeah, I just applied, I think, on their website like everyone else did, and I'm very lucky to be doing it.
It seems like this year has expanded a little bit. Like, the stakes seem to be a little higher than last year.
Yeah, they've grown a bit. Like, it's still mostly at the Russian Hall, but I think that they're doing a show at the Rickshaw on the Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also at the Russian Hall, they're going to have some performers downstairs as well, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the lineup is just larger this year than last year.
As someone who, like, I know we certainly see as kind of like a curator of the local scene, like, what does it mean to the Vancouver music scene to have a large-scale festival like this that's happening at this time of the year instead of, like, just in the summer?
It is perfect timing. It's perfect. I mean, from, like, a business standpoint, I'm like, yes, amazing, good job. Like, people are bored, they are wet, and it's dark out. And, yeah, I mean, it's perfect timing. I think that, yeah, I'm on board with it. I feel like Vancouver needed this for ages. And so I really want people to go to it because Vancouver needs this.
Yeah, and it seems to be like a really, like, not a janky-ass little festival, right? Like, it's like very professional.
It's very professional. Like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Really, the organizers are, like, they know what they're doing. I've been so impressed with everyone.
Yeah, even from, you know, like, sort of an outside organization interfacing with the festival, it's been really, really easy on the radio station's end to, like, set partnerships up and get involved and help promote it. They seem like really nice folks who are just really passionate about the scene that they're trying to curate and
strengthen. Yeah, I mean, it's put on by musicians, and I think that you can tell,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they know what they're doing, and they're passionate. I, for years now, have been contemplating doing my own festival in Vancouver. But I'm like, it's so hard. And I think a lot of Vancouver musicians are totally that way, too. Like, we're all passionate, but it's, like, it's so hard. It's quite stressful to put on a festival. And so I'm really proud of the people at Unreal City for actually doing it, because it's not easy.
Yeah, it really does feel like it's filling a niche that has been, like, desperately been crying out to be filled for a long time,
yeah,
right?
Vancouver has needed this for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like, you know, people... You know, festivals pop up and people try to do things, but it is, as we mentioned, very limited to the summer months.
Yeah.
But also just seems to be hard to build upon year after year, right? Like, mm-hmm. I remember, this is years ago now, but like the Olio Festival tried to make a go of doing sort of like a... They were less local focused, but more sort of the like Sled Island music.
I've never heard of this.
Exactly.
What is Olio?
Olio?
I don't remember who Olio was as an organization.
I think they just picked the name.
But yeah, it was just like a year. Maybe they did a second year.
Mm-hmm. Chad Van Galen was the headliner.
Yeah,
one
where they like really tried to... They tried to bring in a large scale kind of like medium, more like medium tier, but like a really all-encompassing local with a little bit of outside in.
Yeah, 2012.
Whoa! Okay.
Yeah. Let's see if I can pull up the lineup here. Not without signing into Facebook.
But yeah, that was it was sad to kind of seeing things like that go. And I feel like there's been other versions of that maybe have like come and gone. But this one seems to have a little bit of staying power. Like, I don't know. People seem excited about this, and like it seems to be really doing a service mm-hmm. to the local scene.
There's also just like the sort of cool community factor where they've got, you know, like the downstairs of the Russian Hall set up as a local sort of community organization market, and there's they've got like upstairs and downstairs going on. The folks in Worrywart were talking about how great it is to be able to have that, like, you know, there's multiple stages going on, but you don't actually have to leave go outside to do it.
Yeah, it's brilliant. We'll see how many people can fit in the Russian Hall.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a tricky, I don't know if I should talk about this on air, but like when I went last year, it was full. There were a lot of people there. I'm not sure if it was like fully sold out. It might have been, but I think that there were some like fire restriction capacity issues. And so I'm not sure if like by putting people downstairs as well, there's like a workaround. I have no idea.
What would you rather play? Would you rather play, would you rather play a smaller venue that's like packed, or like a larger venue that like technically has more people but is like a little more spacious?
Oh, that's tough, Jamie. I've done both, and I think that this time, because I'm using a full like light rig, I like the idea of like the grandeur of like, whoa, the full stage or whatever. I really like being able to move around a lot on a stage. I don't love when I'm like tightly packed and there's a drum set behind me and I can't really move. Like that's tough. But I don't know. I think it'll be neat to play the Russian Hall. The only time I've played the Russian Hall was doing this video series called Standards.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard of that. No. It was a year or two ago. They did, it was a video series. It was like a performance, live performance series. But yeah, so I was there and it's a big space.
Yeah, I walk past there all the time on my daily walk because I'm in the neighborhood. So
there's always
something going on, but I'd never thought of it as like a music performance venue before. So it's cool to see stuff happening there.
Did you guys go last year? Were you able to go?
No, I wasn't able to go.
Okay, yeah. It's cool. They did a great job last year, and we'll see how this year goes. Yeah.
Well, speaking of this year, you said you got a light rig. What are your plans for your set this year? What can you reveal?
Okay, yeah. So I'm trying to go all out, right? So there's going to be secret new material.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so the big life update for me is that for the first time in 15 years, I went back to school.
Let's go!
Last fall. Oh. To try to become a career counselor.
Oh my God, that is
shocking. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But I graduated. It was a really short, intense, like full-time program. Yeah. So right before Christmas, I finished it. And just being back in school just lifted this, like, I don't know how to describe it, but I've been like struggling with mental health for years. And it sort of lifted me out of this rut that I had been in where I was like, oh, wait, I feel like hope towards something in my life. And I'm not just like a musician that's like dying out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just inspired a whole bunch of new material. I'm sitting on a lot of new material for Devours, actually, that I'm eager to play live. So, yeah, I'm going to play some new material. There's the light rig. We'll see. Hopefully Dave can play live drums for it. We're just like waiting to see if he is able to. And I'm purposely haven't been playing a lot these past few months, and like in the next month or so, I'm trying to line up a Golden Age of Wrestling release show, and I'm struggling to find a venue right now. But in general, with Devours, I want it to be a bit quiet right now because I'm trying to focus on this show.
Of course.
Like, make a big deal of it. So, yeah.
Make it an event.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Well, we're excited for that. Is there anyone else who's playing that you're particularly excited to see, or that you think people should be excited to see?
I mean, I think the big question that's on everyone's mind is Spencer Krug going to play I'll Believe in Anything? It's like the most viral song on the planet now, thanks to Heated Rivalry. He is one of my favorite Canadian indie singer-songwriters of all time. I think he's a genius. I played a show with him in Nanaimo a year ago for a festival that they were doing, and I played right before him, and I was too shy to even say hi.
Yeah.
And that's rare for me. I'm usually very friendly, but I was like, oh my God, Spencer Krug. Like, I was dying.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's a big deal in my heart and now on planet Earth, because this show is humongous. But yeah, I'm not sure if he'll just do Moonface stuff, like just solo piano, or if he'll like go into Wolf Parade. But yeah, I'm eager to see him. And then also By a Thread is intriguing to me. I've never seen them before, but I can't attend the Thursday.
Oh no.
I feel bad. Yeah, I have other arrangements and I can't go, but they've been on my radar this past year. Because did you guys know of them back in the
day? Not really, no. But I've, since seeing them on the poster and talking to the festival organizers a little bit, they've clearly, they've been doing the thing for a long time.
Yeah, ages. I had never heard of them until pretty recently because they put out a new album for the first time in a long time. And
That band name is a band name of an established band. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like a band that's been around forever.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't tell you what they sounded like, but yeah, By a Thread, that sounds like a real band.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that show goes well. Who else? A bunch of friends are playing it. I think the lineup is exciting. The band Sundress played approximately 1 million shows in Vancouver last year, and I never saw them.
Well,
I still have yet to see them, and they're playing on the Saturday as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, eager to see what the buzz is about. But, yeah, lots of good stuff.
I asked Jesse if he thought Spencer would play. I'll